How long is the interview for?
Probably about 10, 15 tops.
About 45 minutes. About 45 minutes, maybe, if it's going really well, an hour and 20. You guys up for that?
Because I need to get an Uber.
You need to get an Uber. Well, it depends what part of London you are. That could work for your timing.
Finsbury Park, mate.
Yeah, it's about an hour and 20 minutes. Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Are you all good? Hi. Are you happy?
Yes.
Are you secure?
Kind of.
Do you feel safe?
I'm in a safe place.
That's good, because I'd like to think you feel that way. You're in a place of music. You're in a studio complex which has, you know, helped facilitate wonderful performances from really great artists, and we're thrilled that you could be the latest in the list. So thank you for joining us.
It's okay.
So, FKA Twigs, where do we begin?
I'd like to start at the very beginning.
Let's talk about the very beginning then. Let's start about music and what your very first recollection of music and when you first fell in love with it was.
I think I fell in love with music when I discovered that I didn't love dancing. I loved dancing to music.
Right, I see. So you were putting the two together and then you realised it was the love of music that was making you dance as opposed to the need to dance.
Yes, exactly.
And what was the music that prompted that realisation, if you can remember?
When I was young, I did ballet and I danced to a lot of classical music. Mm-hmm. And then as I became a little bit older, like maybe 11 or 12, and I had a bit more say in what I wanted to dance to, I would love dancing to like Marvin Gaye or Nina Simone, of old. I guess I was like an old soul in many ways when I was young, and maybe the other kids were dancing to sort of more modern pop songs, and I would always pick these really obscure sort of records to dance to that no one had heard of before.
Magical. You're blessed. You're lucky. You're so fortunate. I mean, to be able to, you know, have access and also to experience music of that depth and that soul, that's not something you're supposed to do at that age necessarily.
Well, I don't know. I think my parents brought me up on, I don't know, lots of different things, but when I was young, I was singing along to Tanya Maria like it was normal, like scatting, and I would like learn her scats and sing them like it was Take That or Spice Girls or whatever. And I to me, that was normal. If you don't know, I guess if you don't know anything different.
Of course, so, that's your only frame of reference.
Yeah, exactly.
What a beautiful frame of reference, though.
Yeah, so I wanted to dance to that sort of music when I was young, and then when I was 16, 17, I decided I want to move to London to go to dance college, and it was like this whole massive upheaval, and like I remember me and my mum didn't have any money, and it was like this whole thing, and it was like so stressful, and like even 2 days before I was supposed to start dance college, we had nowhere to live, and it was like this massive like drama, and then I moved, and I got there, and I went to dance college, and I felt nothing.
Oh.
And I was there for, I stuck with it for a term, but I kept on like bunking off and like just not wanting to go in. And then I just suddenly realised like it was music actually that I wanted to do. So I dropped out of dance college.
Tough conversation to have when there's been, you know, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't say sacrifices, because I'm a parent and I don't think you can use that word once you have kids. You know, don't, you just, you move left and right. You adapt, you keep your head on a swivel and you go according to where you need to be. But in saying that, a certain amount of upheaval and a recommitment of of the family, and then to turn around and go, you know what, guys, I've only got about a 40% attendance rate this month and I'm not really digging it.
I know. So I basically, my mum was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. I guess I'll just go to Croydon College and figure it out. So I just went to Croydon College and started going to a youth centre in Bermondsey and just started singing in the youth centre and like meeting other young people that were interested in music. And it's quite funny actually, because recently I've seen one of the guys that used to work in the, well not work, but used to make music in the youth centre. And I'm talking maybe like, I mean, it has to be 6 years ago now. Mm-hmm. One of the guys was actually Stylo G.
Really?
He's kind of bizarrely, and we used to actually make tracks together, weirdly. So it's kind of like this youth club in Bermondsey, and like Flukes was there and Stylo G and all these kind of like young people, and like we were making music. And then I guess from then on I just started to develop my own sound, and I saved up money for a ticket and went away to LA and New York, and kind of like just saw it was out there for a couple of months. And then when I came back, I just had a really clear vision that I had to make music and it had to be in London, and I knew what I wanted to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, FKA Twigs, Made of Our Studios, and the first track that you guys have recorded for us today is called 2 Weeks. It's Radio 1.
I know it hurts. You know.
Brilliant FKA Twigs and band members. And I'm so sorry, I asked you where you wanted to start and you just gave us this brilliant, eloquent kind of, you know, basically the journey, which has just been magical to listen to because, you know, you don't come across that every day. And I haven't really been able to make any connection to your band members at all. So can you reintroduce them and can I say hi to them, please?
Also, there's LJ.
LJ, what's up?
LJ and Electronic Jams.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah, well, good, thank you.
Yeah, good. What does LJ stand for?
Little Joseph. No, my dad's name is Joseph as well.
Oh, nice. That's great. And how long have you been playing the electronic drum kit for?
Only since Dryden Twiggs' band.
So how was the transition from playing a more organic skin-related kit through to, you know, something that's kind of triggered?
I'm actually a bass guitar player. I sort of winged it on the first session.
Hang on a minute. Wait, hang on. Hold up. That's what you get. That's amazing. That's proper. How do you enjoy being a drum electronic drum player now that you're no longer playing bass?
It's great, yeah. Because I feel I have quite a good connection rhythmically with Cyan, who is also an electronic drum player in the band.
And what does he play now?
Electronic drums.
Oh, good. Okay, so there's two. All right, I wasn't sure whether you were now playing bass and someone else was swapping their instruments.
No, well, Cyan, actually, his first instrument is guitar.
It's not even. I don't even know what it is.
Piano.
All right. Well, Cyan popping off there. That was amazing. It's not even. Shut up. Shut up. You don't even know. You don't even know what I play for. What are you talking about?
Great impression.
Shut up. That was great. I love a little domestic going on here at Made of Our Studios. It was perfect. Okay, Cyan, I think I've gotten to know enough about you. I'll steer clear of you. And who's the third of the trio, please?
It's Tick. That's me.
Tick. Hey man, how's it going?
What up, Zane?
How's it? What up, buddy? What are you playing?
I play electronic drum pads as well. So we all play a lot of pads.
Okay.
And Cyan actually has the most sophisticated setup.
But he's a guitar player.
Well, you know, he's a musician first and foremost.
Did you just say that? Wait, that's one of the cheesiest things anyone's ever said in my entire life. That's what you give it.
Thanks, dude.
I love that. That's a t-shirt. I'm a musician first and foremost. That's great. All right, so how has it been hearing the records go from the studio to live, and how much freedom do you guys give each other and do you give the band to be able to sort of breathe new life into them?
I'll take this one.
Good question, right?
Very good, very good. Well, it all happened very organically because I met Twigs about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and we kind of got down making some music, and she just said, I know these two guys, LJ and Cyan, and they'd be perfect to like interpret this music.
No, you didn't. You had no idea. You didn't even reach out to me. What are you talking about? Shut up.
He pretty much his first reaction. And then, you know, the drum pads idea was there because I figured it would let us take the individual parts of any song, no matter like who'd played what part on it. And for instance, on these pads, I'll sometimes play guitar parts that I've played elsewhere.
You have three big NPCs.
Essentially, yeah. So it kind of takes, I suppose, you know, what we call the JMXX, like, ethos and lays it out over some bigger pads that you can put a bit more physicality into.
Amazing.
And we can kind of follow the Twigs ethos, which is, like, be one with the music.
That's awesome.
That's another T-shirt for you.
Be one with the music. I'd actually wear that, but I would not wear the first one. That's amazing. Let's take another piece of music and continue to catch up with FKA Twigs and her equally eloquent band. how has the day been overall? I mean, have you enjoyed being down there? I mean, it's weird doing these radio sessions, but it's a cool place, MV, right?
No, it's really good. It's actually quite interesting because I've been playing a lot of festivals, and I guess the setup here is so clear and so, I guess, professional. Mm-hmm. I can really hear, like, things in terms of the Al J. Tickensign's interpretations that I hadn't heard before, like tiny little details and extra percussion that I guess sometimes can be lost.
When you said early on, I was going to pull you up on it, like you went to America, you went to New York, you went to LA, but you knew you had to come back to London.
Yeah, it's interesting, but at the same time, I mean, what's going on over there, it really can, I guess, inspire and then inform what you have to come back here to do and like evolve on. And, you know, we all, I guess, are inspiring each other, but it's just different because it's so different. It's a completely different feel, but it's like a circle, isn't it?
Well, traditionally for me, my thing is hip-hop. That's what I grew up listening to. It's still what informs pretty much every decision I make on a creative or personal professional level. Is kind of like, is it hip-hop? Is it rap? Does it have that feeling that music makes me feel? Mm-hmm. And that's American. And so I love the way that's gone, and I love things like Flying Lotus and everything else, that the way that that's moved. But I just don't see the same adventurism. Obviously, there are exceptions. But as a whole, I think it's just that's why I love living in London, is because, you know, it's constantly new, crazy, exciting, strange, deformed, beautifully bastardized versions of what's happened before. It's constantly evolving and changing. It never stays put, I don't think.
And do you know much about the crump scene that's going on in London at the moment?
Not at the moment. I mean, I know about crumping.
And in terms of even music, you should check it out. It's so cool, like the music that is coming out of crump, like a lot of the crump dancers, because...
See, I always thought of that as a dancing phenomenon as opposed to
music. It's music. Like, there's crump music, and it's a very specific thing. It's as specific as, like, grime or garage is. And it's something that I feel like the UK is really embracing right now. And in the States as well, there's... Obviously, I work with Wet Wipes over here, and they have in-house producers. It's really interesting what's going on, because the dance groups are having producers that are within the dance group.
Amazing.
And they're part of... It's like Wet Wipes, and then there'll be a producer for Wet Wipes All, for example.
That's crazy.
In America, Ty Eyes, who's a crumper, and then he's also a producer as well and releasing music. And I think that's really exciting as well. And I can see at the moment in London, there's a small Vogue scene growing, and I can see that happening as well in terms of music to Vogue to in the UK, and that's something that I think is really exciting and that I'm very interested in at the moment.
So what's the next step for that? Ultimately, I suppose we have dancers, that their music is being facilitated for them to express themselves, and ultimately they become artists in their own right. They already are, but you know what I'm saying, actually, like, qualified by general terms is like, well, you have music made for you to dance specifically for that, and you have a crew based around your movement as opposed to necessarily your voice.
Well, it's weird. There's actually been a big change in the dance community at the moment, because we all used to go and train underground in Trocadero. Mm. You know, like, say Trocadero used to be like big like 5-10 years ago, and then it kind of died down and it was going to shut, and then the dancers took over the underground level by the tube station, and then Trocadero kicked us all out maybe about 5 months ago now. But what it's meant is that I guess the different sections of dance have had to spread out throughout London. So if you go to South Bank, you'll find a lot of contemporary and hip-hop dancers training there at the South Bank Centre. Mm. But then if you go to Charing Cross Station, there's this new thing where a lot of the Voguers are going to Charing Cross Station to train. So although something that essentially could have been really bad for the dance community, this like hub where we were all learning off each other, we got kicked out of it. But now, in a weird way, it's become a better thing, because it's more focused, and I guess when people feel hurt by something, it can make them focus in on what they really need to do. And I think it's just exciting at the moment. Like, it's very new, and the thing in Charing Cross, it's only been going for a few months, but people just go down there and dance and learn off each other. And, you know, talking about hip-hop, I guess that was the roots of hip-hop, was just learning off each other and learning all of the different aspects of that, whether it was like graffiti or breakdancing or emceeing or DJing. Do you know what I mean? Like, there were these different aspects, and that's what made hip-hop so strong, and that's why it's still here today and growing today. And I think that the fact that in Vogue and in Crump, these families are being born where you have to be able to produce their own music, you have to be able to do dance, you have to know the roots. Where does that move come from? What does it mean? What does it saying? Essentially, like, that's how hip-hop started. So to have young people and then older people in these dance families informing us all in Vogue and Crump, I think it's making something amazing.
I think the vision is inspiring, I have to say. I just got off a plane from New Zealand a couple of days ago, and my brain is pretty mush. But this has been one of the more fascinating and interesting conversations I've had in Made of Our Studios. And thank you all for taking the time to do it. It's been really nice to talk with you at last.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome. You. All right. So this final, who didn't say thank you? Is that you, Sian, again?
No, I said thank you.
Oh, no, it's me. It's me. I'll take that one.
Big up. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God.
This is Pendulum.
I've got time built on.